Welcome to Freelance Feels, a podcast for anyone who is freelance, self-employed, or thinking about it. This episode, I've gone super international. I'm talking to Kat Biles at True Business School. Kat is all the way over in Antigua. Very exciting. Kat, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to be here. I really appreciate you having me.
Brilliant. And it's before we started chatting, I was just saying to Kat, oh, I think everyone must be so envious of you. And I was going to say as well, as soon as we came onto the Zoom and the background was there, Kat was outside. And I could see these lush palm trees, and I've made Kat come inside for the audio. So,
envy, yeah, you can hear all the songbirds in our banana trees.
Oh, lush. Kat, welcome. Would you like to tell everyone what you do? And then we'll go into your story of sort of how you came to be in the Caribbean. Tell us all.
Yeah, so my professional background is PR and communications. So I was a global communications director for the Homeless World Cup. Mm-hmm. And before that, I had my own sort of mini agency. I didn't employ anyone. Everyone was freelance. So, you know, if you had a big project, you'd like bring that freelancer in or that freelancer in, and we'd work together. So, you know, we had less costs and we had higher caliber people and we can have a really big impact. So I was doing that and I loved that and it was successful and everything. But then at the Homeless World Cup, I burnt out. And I mean, when I look back now, we were putting on an event, a big global event annually in a different country. So I did Milan, Denmark, Melbourne, South Africa, where else? Paris, Rio. I mean, and so I was on a plane every single week. And it got to the point where I'd literally run myself ragged. I didn't, you know, my relationships had all deteriorated with my family and friends. I was, you know, rarely at home and had no space for any family or friends. And but also, you know, the Homeless World Cup was this really magnificent project.
Sounds
and
brilliant.
It was absolutely brilliant. We were using football and it's still going. It had a blip, you know, like so many things did in COVID where it just came to a halt, but it's coming back in America this year. And we use football to help people who are homeless to change their lives. But I got to tell the incredible story of that, of sport changing lives. And I got to tell all the stories of the magnificent players who were, you know, really grabbing the opportunity for a second chance and repairing relationships with families, coming off drugs and alcohol, going from, you know, being homeless to owning their own home. And some even like played for the national teams.
Oh, wow.
One woman in Brazil. Yeah, it was incredible. And so seeing that huge transformation was like, and the stories that of that transformation, because no one goes in a straight line. Everyone went, you know, up and down. You're like, oh, will they? Oh, no. Yes, they will. No, they won't. You know, but ultimately their spirit coming through. Yeah, I got to tell all of those stories. And it was hugely inspiring and deeply transformative for me as well on a personal and individual level. But then I burnt out. I came to the end of the, you know, I couldn't take any more of the traveling. And also, you know, the emotional impact that had on me when you see people in struggling and, you know, and sometimes winning, but sometimes not, you know, we lost players. And so, yeah, that and some of the issues, you know, of women abused, and you know, we had one tournament where everyone had been raped, you know, like, oof. And then, you know, the impact of genocide and environmental catastrophe and things. You get to the point where you're like, oh my gosh, I need
emotional overwhelm, isn't it?
What did burnout mean for you?
How did it manifest? Did you realize it was coming, or did it kind of creep up on you suddenly?
I was talking to a friend who's just finished at the big issue yesterday. He said, you were really grumpy. I was like, yeah, I was. Like in stress. I mean, I think, you know, as a freelancer as well, you're responsible for creating your own work and creating your own income all the time. But then you're also, as like working with the Homeless World Cup, which I did on a consultancy freelance capacity, you're also, you know, making all of that happen. So you've got so yeah, I think I was overwhelmed and deeply stressed, and then that manifested in, you know, mood swings, grumpiness, but then ultimately a complete exhaustion, and I just ended up stopping for 3 months and having 3 months off. And then having time to like reconnect with myself, and that's where Antigua showed up.
Yes, was Antigua a holiday at first? Was Antigua part of
it? It was, you know, it was a holiday. I was like, I think I had like 1500 quid left in my bank account, and I was like, no, you need a break. And I spent it on that. And I started working with my intuition and listening, you know, to my intuition and listening to my heart's wisdom. And, you know, the sensible option probably would have been to save that money and to invest it perhaps in, you know, finding a new project or something. It was like, no, the intuition was invest it yourself. So I came here on holiday and I had 10 days staying in a really lovely hotel. And then I was swimming in the sea on the last day and I heard really clearly, you're not done. I don't know where this inspiration comes from, but it's like, you're not done. You need to come back for a month and float in the sea every day. So I did. I
you sort of look around you like, sorry, is that a beach? I know. That's like, a beach cellar. It's
not... Hello.
What's happening?
You know,
too much rum.
With Jim Carrey. Yeah. Yes. Am I in some kind of, who's talking to me? But yes, it was, and I listened and I came back. And you know what happened? It was really interesting. And this is where then I deepened my relationship with my intuition. And I also deepened my relationship with nature. Because I was walking barefoot every day. I don't wear shoes anymore. My life has changed so much. I know, right? I was swimming in the sea every day. I was watching the sunset and the sun rise every day. I was eating mangoes from the tree and coconuts straight from the tree. And that is what brought me back my wellness. I was like, it was almost like my nervous system calmed down. I was floating in the sea, which calmed down all my brain. You know, I was naturally in a survival and threatened state all the time. So the slightest thing would send me into stress. So that all calmed down. And then it began inspiring me, and it inspired me into a new way of being in business, which is what the book is about. It's about creating happy work.
Yes, of course, because we're talking because you've got a new book out, haven't you? Is it your first book? Or,
it is my first book, and I thought it was going to be my only book, but I'm not sure now. I've been getting nudges to write other things, so we'll see, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll delve into it. So what I'm wondering is, you mentioned you came back, so did you go home? Was there that moment where you went home and said, I've had an epiphany, I'm going back to Antigua, I've been told I'm not done, and were people like, keep you up? Genuinely, though, were people
exactly that?
Sort of
they were.
Breakdown, perhaps. I mean, that might sound extreme, but you can imagine people sort of going, Kat, are you sure? What's happened? You know,
and
lock down your bank account.
Also, I added into it, I'm going to stay with this Antiguan guy I've met, which I'd met for 3 days, and they were like, what? And you know, my mum was really worried, and she was like, you're doing the same that you did when you were 18. And she was genuinely upset. And my sister was like angry with me. She's like, I'm not going through, you know, any of your craziness again. You know, we're really like, I guess they were just very protective of me. So it wasn't quite, I say, and I came back, but actually, you know, I had to face a few thresholds to do that. But then what happened was people started to see how I was becoming healthy, and people started to see that my relationships with them were improving and that I had more capacity to be with them. And, you know, I remember sitting on a Zoom with my grandma, I was chatting with my grandma and my mum, and my grandma was like, look how well she looks, Vicky.
Not grumpy anymore.
Exactly. She's got a smile on her face for the first time in a few years. So but that is the journey, isn't it, sometimes of a freelancer. It can be really stressful and make you really grumpy, and you know, and you can feel the stress causes your, you know, just eradicates your wellness and affects your relationships and so on. So now I make sure, and this would be, you know, always put in the structures for your support so that you can thrive as a freelancer and not just keep your head above water. You know, what I started to think, okay, what do I need to actually thrive at this? And I, you know, I found, actually I work better in collaborations and in partnerships with others. So now I have a couple of partnerships where I'm working on things, and you can banter and you can, you know, vibe off others. And that's really, really nice. So I like that a lot. And then you don't feel so alone, because I think that's another thing as a freelancer, that you can feel like you're on your own all the time, having to pitch again on your own for this and that. And
pitching is hard, isn't it? Pitching for me is the worst part of being freelance. Out of everything, pitching is the worst part, I think. No, I don't think.
I
stick to that.
I absolutely hear you. Yeah. And I was pitching something, you know, like when I was pitching the book, you're like, oh yeah. So I got loads of no's. I got some people saying, wow, I love the concept. You haven't got a big enough audience.
Oh yes, my little chestnut.
That's one. And also, heart isn't businessy, so it wouldn't appeal to business. And you're like, yeah, and that's kind of the problem, and that's kind of the solution. One of my friends said, why are you trying to pitch a pioneering concept into an old structure that will never get it? And I was like, because, you know, I was pitching to these traditional business structures that, you know, have just really only just cottoned onto purpose, which I was pioneering 25 years ago.
Agents that you were going to.
And I was like, oh, of course they're not gonna be responding to listening to your heart in and yet your heart leading in business rather than profit and growth at all costs, because that is too threatening to the whole business system.
That is so, business. Yeah, so, yeah.
Right. Mm. That, oh God, it's just business, really pisses me off that. Because then it justifies your greed, it justifies your corruption, it justifies your harm that you're doing to yourself, to others, and to the earth. Mm. So yeah, I'm like, well, that's no longer acceptable. I actually think it's badly designed. So let's just design it, redesign it.
Yeah. And,
so I hear you on the pitching. But you know what, I also use a tool and a technique which I find really great, and that is an envisioning technique. So I will until I can see the outcome, like say I'm pitching a feature in a magazine or something, until I can see it in the magazine and people like reading that magazine, or I can see it on the online, I don't pitch. And what I find is that once I can see it, and really weird things start happening when you do that as well. So I was trying to get a hold of a journalist at Radio 2, I think it was, and she just wasn't coming back to me. So I just kept imagining her calling me, and I was having a really nice chat, and, you know, and I just do this when I was washing up, and then she rang me.
I love stuff like this. Oh my god, I'm like waving my hands around. I love these things. And so many people say to me, no, it's just coincidence. Well, you'd already contacted her. And it's like,
it's not.
Oh, I don't it's think not. It is. Yeah, I get it's a real not. Buzz out of things.
So try that with your pitching as well. Like, you know, imagine the end result. Step into the end result your heart would really love.
Yeah.
And then you know, start to give that the energy. And then what you find is that the journalists that you want to connect with, that your allies for that piece, come in. Or whatever you're up to, it makes it fun as well, because then you're in the end result and you're like, oh, I wonder how this is going to happen then. Show me. Yeah. Can you bring me the people, universe?
Excellent. And is that what happened with the book? Did you sort of take a step back and think, I'll imagine the cover, or how did it come to into?
So the... yeah, I have been writing with holding the book in my hand, and I actually, you know, holding the book to my heart kind of thing. But a funny thing happened. I thought, okay, I'm going to take this beautiful conch shell that I'd found, which is about, for me, is about listening and messaging and reaching out. And I'm going to take it out into the ocean, and I'm going to ask the universe to find me the publisher that matches this book. Right. So off I went. I did this, and I forgot about it. And then about 3 months later, I'd finished the book, and I was like wondering what next. We'd had this huge groundswell, and I went down to the beach, and the conch shell that I'd thrown way out into the ocean was at my feet. It was at my feet. Whoa. Yeah. And I'd taken it right out into the ocean, and I was like, oh, okay, so maybe I'm the publisher. Maybe that's the first step. And I thought, it's more important to me that the people that want to use this book, it's available for them, than waiting to find a publisher and then waiting for them to get on board, and then waiting for it to fit into their calendar and all of that. So I just I'm going to go for it. And then I found that a lot of my favorite books were also published, self-published to start with.
It's a huge thing now, isn't it, where people are saying,
oh, it's massive,
I'm not going to wait for essentially another establishment to okay me and to say, say you fit in with what publishers want at the moment, or what readers in terms of, you know, the market want. They're yeah. saying, oh, well, I'm going to go for it myself then. And, you know, we've got
exactly.
that power. Yeah.
And so, and what was brilliant as well is like learning how to self-publish, you know, finding all the people that can, you know, edit and proof and design my book cover and then the layout and then the publishing of it on KDP, Amazon and all these other platforms. I've walked that path now. So I have a lot of clients who are pioneers and have pioneering work that won't necessarily sell hundreds, you know, or thousands of copies that publishers need, but the work's very important and will seed other things and, you know, the evolution of humanity, which for me is like a bit more important than selling books. And so I can now like guide them on that. And okay, here's this person, you need to do this, you know, here's this contact. And so that feels really good as well. It feels like by me publishing mine, I can help at least 10 other women in my community to do the same. Brilliant. So it feels like really, really good.
That's
and
awesome.
You never know. But I'm going to be using the book for teaching, and on the opening day, the launch day, it did make it to number one on the Amazon bestseller thing in the inspiration category.
Yes,
so
I saw you posted, didn't you?
I was well happy
up
with
alongside
that.
The Secret, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I know. I saw it by The Secret, The Artist's Way, which is one of
That's
my
it,
favorites.
The Artist's Way, yeah.
Yeah, oh. And also Jay Shetty, who's Mr. Self Promotion and publishing, you know, huge self promotion machine. So I was like, wow, I know it's the tail end of his book and he's got something like 29,000 reviews. then there was Creative Happy Work.
But that's absolutely brilliant. And it's given me an insight. Tell me if this is right or not, but you seem like very much the kind of person that seizes opportunity, but also you seem to thrive off juggling and change, like quite big change. So you're almost like, right, this shell has come back to me. I will publish the book. I will go for it. You know, you're quite sort of all in, I guess. Would that be fair to say? And I guess the subsequent question is, does that help you thrive as someone who works for themselves?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm working with somebody at the moment and you know, we're putting a proposal together. This is another example of it. And they're saying, yes, but da, 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 and they're getting really upset about an obstacle or whatever. And I don't see obstacles as obstacles. I'm like, okay, what do I need to learn from this? What information are you bringing me? And very adaptive and like it's an adaptive growth model and learning. Like, so, you know, when I went to, I'm registering a nonprofit here at the moment, which is the inspiration that came out of the book for me personally was to have a deeper relationship with nature and to set up a coastline as an official entity here. It's been a grassroots movement for a little while, but it's like, no, let's set up as an official entity so that we can fundraise and actually, you know, develop the structures that we're putting in place to keep the trash off the beaches and support like our ecosystems here. And you know, bureaucracy here is interesting, so I'm going all the time to intellectual property, and then I have to sit there for like an hour waiting for somebody intellectual property, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But then a lawyer comes in and sits down next to me and takes me through the whole process that I'm about to go through and gives me all the information that I need.
Brilliant.
And then she provided the statutory declaration, which I needed as part of it. So I always kind of work like that. It's like, okay, I'm sat here for an hour. Why am I sat here for an hour? Show me what I'm doing here, kind of thing.
I love
and
that.
So like back to the pitching thing,
yes,
right? If you're not getting a pitch and you're not getting the results you want, I was like, okay, show me why this isn't working. Show me what I need to make this more connecting with the audience. Show me the way. That then opens up the inspiration to be able to get in. So get curious rather than stuck.
Because often it's so frustrating. You just think, why does no one want this? And it's like, actually, it can be something as simple as, well, I did a pitching course, and the ladies who I did the pitching course with, Hazel and Heidi, actually, they've been on the podcast. So if everyone's listening and they want to know about that, you can go back to the episode with the ladies from Muse Flash. But basically, one of their things is you ask, who cares? But not in a nasty way. You say, well, who cares? Why would someone want to publish this? Why would someone want to read it? What is the point of your pitch? And actually, you start to think, rather than, oh, what's the point of me sending a skinny thing? Okay, what's the point? What am I trying to really sell? Because it's
what's valuable? What's the value here? And why is it you know, so fundamental and crucial that everybody has this. And then you get really inspired yourself. And it's, I think it's inspiration. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like my purpose is to kind of spread inspiration and also activate and awaken the creativity and inspiration in others. Mm-hmm. And that's contagious. Like, you know, grumpy, which is what I'm called, is not contagious. It's like people are like, oh, stay away from her, I'm scared of her. Yeah. But like when you're you know, happy and inspired and inspiring, that that kind of spreads, doesn't it? And it ripples out. So yeah, that's kind of
definitely the negative energy doesn't have so much of a chance to get in either, does it? Because you're just got in a state where it wants to interrupt almost, I think. Tell us what the business is exactly, because you mentioned PR and obviously you've got the book. So what is True Business School? What is it that your business is now doing, Antigua?
Yeah, so I work with sort of creatives and healers and teachers, also pioneers and visionaries, to basically share their message and their stories of transformation and change, but to do that in a way that their heart is leading. So traditional business, you kind of, it's your head and your gut, whereas I work with that, your heart's wisdom. So we begin from the inside and go out. That way you're in alignment with who you are, your true essence and your purpose. And you know, I find that people, for example, they might be trying to connect with corporates in my audience because I'm a coach and corporates have got the money. And actually then when you connect with their heart, their true audience and who their essence and purpose naturally serve is teenagers with self-esteem, say. So quite often I'll help people align and redirect with where they really, you know, can have that inspiration and impact and actual results that they're wanting and they're trying to get over here and it's not working because they're not in alignment. Yeah. And so that I love that, like, strategy is completely created differently now. My comm strategy, you know, often you'll get a comm strategy of something that worked for somebody else and they'll just bring it to you and it's like, no, I create completely unique strategies now with people by listening to their own heart and what their essence is, what their purpose is, who their audience is, what the message is for their audience from their heart to theirs, not a message that's going to manipulate them into do something they want, but it's going to uplift and inspire them and serve them. And then we look at where they're showing up, the channel of communication, and then to do that from a powerful place as the wise, resource, creative adult, not the child that was rejected and you're still carrying those, you know, oh, no one wants me or what have you, or no one listens to me anyway, or all of those of your crap, who's going to want this book, you know, all of those things that we get in our heads, to be able to soothe those things and actually go from the wisdom place. Yeah. So it's, for me, it's a complete radical way of being in business that essentially nourishes you and you know, heals anything and allows you to thrive. And so it becomes like an expression of your creativity and your contribution in the world rather than sort of a mechanical profit driven at all costs, you know, at the expense of your health and your wellness and your thriving, you know. So I've kind of blended the very sort of structures of business and PR with a listening to the, like, the creative energies and flow of life that you are working with, and then you end up thriving.
Oh my goodness, you can just tell your energy, like when you're, as a coach as well, it's kind of like you're when you talk about it, you really sit up, even like you're sitting up quite straight anyway, but when people are really into something, like, you just sit up more, don't you? And it's like, kind of, you've got that real buzz about it. And
well,
how does it work?
Oh, I was just going to say, what is exciting is seeing the impact of the transformation. So like Bex is an amazing example, who's in the book, and she was stuck and she was afraid of being in business and sharing and being visible because she had this sort of perfection belief and she was afraid of failing. And so she was watching all these other people succeeding where she knew she wanted to succeed. So there was kind of jealousy and envy as well in that, this mix going on. And then she started listening to her heart and where she's showing up and who she's serving. And she's basically, she has the Mindful Kitchen, which is plant-based food for compassionate. Compassionate body and compassionate world. And I'm not kidding you. She just showed up every day for about, I think it was about a week or something. No, it was 6 weeks at the same time, daily, at the same time. And then 9 months later, that gave her confidence. She was like in it now. She's over the threshold and she's in her business. She's visible. She's sharing her message. She's connecting. And then, not kidding you, 9 months later, she became a chef for the Black Eyed Peas.
Whoa.
And yeah, they were on a music retreat here and she cooked for them, and they shared with her how her creativity and the love she was pouring into the food served their creativity and made it easier for them to write and express themselves. And you know, it's like wow.
Yeah,
right,
that's amazing, isn't it? Because she probably didn't even imagine that would ever be a thing, but she just went with it. So because the book is lots of stories, isn't it? It's lots of people's stories of, I guess, kind of triumph and success, isn't it? And but along the journey as well.
Yeah, of how they've listened to their heart. So it kind of, it gives you a structure as well for you to listen to your own heart and for you to create the business that you're actually born to naturally build. And then there's stories along the way of people who've done that to inspire you and to show you that it's possible and what happens when you do. Because I always find that the heart is wise, creative, loving, freeing, but it's expansive. So our mind might have these limiting beliefs of like I was working with someone yesterday and he was like, oh, maybe I can, he's just changing his job, he's like, maybe I can write, he's a writer, maybe I can write for greeting cards. And when we went into his heart, he's writing screenplays and showing these big, you know, big stories of people that creates understanding and builds community. And you're like, well, it's a little bit different from, like, you know, our mind, like, oh, you can write little greeting cards, and your heart is saying, no, tell big stories that you know, that create community and understanding. I love that about the heart.
It's amazing, isn't it? I'm so hoping that people that are listening are thinking, yes, I'm going to try this, because I think if people are doubtful, I always say, well, give it a go, you know. If you try and manifest something and work from the heart and you don't feel like it works for you, then what have you lost? But if you do and it does, which I'd argue it may well do, amazing things can happen. But,
you might even find yourself going from grumpy to happy.
Yes. And living in Antigua.
Yeah. Oh my God. I never thought that would happen to me either.
It's amazing. And it's just sort of, I'm wondering how it works with clients, because I know, obviously, especially post-pandemic, everything's very, I mean, we're talking on Zoom now, so I understand, obviously, you know, you can do meetings and things, but are all your clients local to you or are they international? How does it work being a global freelancer?
No, all my clients are global. UK. I think at the Home is Soul Cup, I had a global mindset. You know, I had all of our partners in 70 countries.
Yes.
And I was flying all over. So that really opened, that moved me from, you know, being a national agency kind of mindset, or even a regional one, because I was then based in Bath, into it, just thinking globally, and you can connect and you can create anything you want. I also really passionate about grassroots to global, so all my clients are everywhere, you know, and that's yeah. And I have an online course, so you can do the course online, and then I connect on Zoom. But what's new for me is now just starting an enterprise, a non-profit here, and connecting more with people here and building a community here, which I'm really enjoying a lot. Because it is different, isn't it, connecting on Zoom. You miss that. There's something really special that happens when there's a gang of you together cleaning up a beach, which is what we do for Dr. Coastline, and then you sit and have a picnic under the tree and have a swim, and you know, you have these friendships that arise, and you get, and they're like, oh, when's the next one? And it's sort of contagious.
Yeah,
I like organic, that a lot. It?
Yeah. When I started the podcast, I used to go and interview people in person.
Did you?
Yeah, and I used to take biscuits. And then I realised pretty quickly that you cannot sit eating biscuits while you're recording a podcast because there's crunching. Exactly. I was like, oh, Jenny, come on. And then half of the podcast would be spent talking about biscuits. And I was like, this isn't a podcast about biscuits. Jenny, come on, what's going on here? So
that
Zoom
would be
has
a
made
good
it easier
one.
In that respect.
That needs to be a separate
biscuit pod. We should do that, shouldn't we? I'm one of those people that always has ideas and is like, oh, do this. But before we started recording as well, we were talking about the idea of, I guess, freelance envy completely, where everyone's grass seems greener. But I wondered how much people look at this huge move that you've made, a big life change that you've activated and worked very, very hard at, and to sustain and to sort of, you know, like you say, build a place for yourself in the community. Do lots of people think, oh, it's all right for you, you're in Antigua, you're so lucky, like as if someone just posted you the ticket and that was that, or they gave you the
yeah.
Is there that element to it? Does people sort of think, oh, your life must
I
be
think
just perfect because you're in the Caribbean?
There can be a bit of that, can't there? You know, you're posting pictures of turquoise seas and palm trees, and that's got kind of can be what represents like paradise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. And then I show them all the litter and the trash and they're like, oh. But you know what? I do get clients that come to me that want to do what I've done. So they want to set up their own retreats, or they want to set up their own online courses, or, you know, and they want someone who's done that before and that can help them do that. So I do get that happen. But I tend to encourage people. This is what we were saying before. My premise is that everyone has a structure that serves them and meets all their needs. So mine is here in the warm and light next to the sea. But yours might be on top of a mountain or in the forest or, you know, or in a city or working with, you know, my sister, she's a teacher, and her sort of ideal situation is, you know, being in her community with her chickens and her dog and her kids going to the local school and having, you know, relationships with the local community, and they go off and join in the local village hall cake competition and things like that. That's her ideal. Someone else's nightmare. So I always think, you know, set up the structure that meets all your needs. And when we listen to our heart, half the time we're in structures that aren't meeting any of our needs and we don't even know it. Right. So when I was like freelancing, I was completely disconnected from inspiration. I didn't have any community. You know, and now it's like, oh, when you start listening to your heart, you become aware of these needs that you have as well. So that's quite interesting. But yeah, I just encourage people to set up the structures and build the structures that meet their needs, whatever they are. You know, your need might not be being in paradise or being, you know, on a beach. But for me, I need to be by the sea. And
yeah, definitely
every
making
day.
Me think I should book some swims at my local Lido, which again seems sort of, yeah, it's like that coming back to you, that you're the floating in water.
Where's your local Lido?
It's Chipping Norton in the Cotswolds, so it's heated.
Is it open air?
Lovely. Yeah, yeah. So open air heated Lido. It's
I love a good Lido.
My house, yeah. So
oh my god!
But that's what came to me
day.
When you were saying it. I was like, why aren't I booking some? It's boiling in the UK at the moment. We're expecting a heatwave. Why aren't I booking a few swims? And
oh,
it's funny, isn't it?
If we go in the morning and
that's just
you know, start
me.
Your day.
You sent it.
Yes, I have. I want a photo, please.
No problem. Yes, I like to do a little bit of a selfie at the Lido. People are thinking they would like to try that a bit more. What would be your advice? They're thinking, yeah, do you know what? I am frustrated with freelancing, but they still like it. They still want to do it, but they're feeling a bit stuck. How might they go about listening to their heart? Is it a case of going quiet? Is it a case of having a day off? What might they do to kind of connect with that?
Oh, great. Both great ideas, actually. When you have a day off, you create the space for inspiration to find you. When you're in the day-to-day running hamster, can't reach you. So yeah, having a day off, getting quiet. I like to go for long walks in nature or go for a swim. Like nature literally is inspiration. Meditations, guided meditations are great. So the book, it takes you through like the process, and then there's meditations that I recorded that you can listen to.
I
remember recording the meditations over a weekend, and just doing that myself and listening to myself shifted me like hugely. So they're both available if you but yeah, all of like you find your own way for inspiration, don't you? Like, I have a client who paints. Every time she paints a series of paintings, she upgrades her business because she just gets the inspiration while she's painting. And it just makes me smile. She goes on a big painting thing. I'm like, oh, okay, here's the next wave coming.
She's gone to her place, yeah.
Yeah, so find your place. Like find your place where you can listen and your heart's whisper. And then you have to trust it. And then you have to take action on it. You can't just go, oh, yeah, that's very nice. If you don't take action on it. And then if you don't act on it, I find you just build up the frustration. Yeah, you need to act without any sort of attachment to the outcome. And then when you take
That's
those
good.
Actions, Don't expect.
Don't just sit and be like, oh, I'm waiting for everything to come to me. I'm imagining myself with my £1 million in the bank. Now I'm just going to go and sit and have a cup of tea. It's what then?
Then you get an idea and you're like, oh, and then act on the idea. Don't just like park the idea. You have to take action and then, you know, work with the flow of inspiration that's coming in.
Fantastic. Good. Well, I want to hear from everybody that has, if they're listening, I'm looking around like they're here right now in the Zoom call. But people do hear this and they try this and they, you know, I mean, I think it sounds like probably to bring us neatly to getting you to share where everyone can find you and the book. It genuinely sounds like actually if people aren't sure where to start, buying your book is probably a very good place to start because then they can dip in and out of your meditations and have a read and read other people's stories, which are obviously going to inspire them as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'd be great if you want to tell us sort of everywhere they can find you, social web and the book.
Yeah. So the book's called Creative Happy Work, Follow Your Heart to a Thriving Business Life and World. And it's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and Apple Books, all of those. And you can find me at catbiles.com. There's also the option, you can, if you want to work in this way, there's an option to book in a 30-minute consultation where we can have a chat and we can tune in together and all that. And yeah, you'll find the PR with Heart course on the catbiles.com too.
Fantastic. That is brilliant. Oh, Kat, it's been so lovely to talk to you. I genuinely feel energized and I feel like you've sent some of that lovely Antiguan energy over the
world. Caribbean waves, really. Vibes coming your way.
Yeah, you're welcome to go out to the banana trees again now.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Freelance Feels, the podcast for humans who work for themselves. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and if you have, you can rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and follow for future episodes. You can find more about Freelance Feels at freelancefeels.com and more of my work at jennystallard.com. Freelance Feels also has a monthly newsletter, which you can sign up to at freelancefeels.substack.com. And for daily updates, follow on Instagram and Twitter at freelance_feels.